Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and I'm very glad that you are, and we're putting a wonderful spotlight on the Southwest. Thanks for joining us. This show is sponsored by Pima Association of Governments, and on the Mrs. Green team, we are actually delighted with our partnership with them because they are teaching us a lot, and we are sharing that with our listeners and our followers on Facebook and the whole Mrs. Green community. And there are lots of us, including me, that had no idea about the great work of Pima Association of Governments. And it's really an example of our tax dollars at work, of the good green things that government is doing for us, sometimes not so noticeably and sometimes noticeably. And I am pleased to have with me in studio Mead Meyer. She is the senior watershed management. I don't know if you're the senior watershed management planner for PAG, and you are up to all kinds of good green things. And I will get started by having you sharing a lot of information. So thanks for being here.
Great. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay. So I was going to start with the question, where does clean water start anyway? But we know it starts with me and you and everybody else. So that's it's kind of a rhetorical question, but that really is a good one. People don't think of clean water starting with them. Agreed?
Right. The campaign name is Clean Water Starts With Me, and we considered calling it Clean Water Starts With You, but we really wanted to do more than work with people.
We wanted
them to know that they are empowered to make a difference.
Right.
So there's that me word.
And instead of pointing it over there, it's pointing it at me. I think it's powerful, and I think it's really great. So senior watershed management planner, senior watershed planner.
It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. What's your job, and what kind of scope of responsibilities do you have in that long title?
At PAG, we do regional planning for the metropolitan area. So within watershed planning, the reason that regional planning is important is because we all live within a shared watershed. And what that means is the area between all the mountain ranges where all the water runs off the mountains to join a common water course, the Santa Cruz River in our case, we're all connected because we all live within that same basin. So since we have a common resource, we need to coordinate all the towns and cities together.
Okay, so one of the things, let's go off on this little tangent because I think it's important. And I loved writing the blog that was published this past Friday. People can see it at Mrs. Green's World. But stormwater management really matters. Watershed management really matters. That's part of what you do. And I wrote in the blog, we don't get light drizzles mostly. We have a rainy season, and it's monsoon, and it's hard and strong, and it can be devastating. Why does the management of stormwater, why does it matter so much?
Well, when it rains, it really storms here. So there's lots of different aspects to that. Some people work within flood control management. My job is focused on pollution prevention. So that's what Clean Water Starts With Me is about. The reason it matters is because one of the leading concerns for stormwater pollution is actually the small dispersed sources of pollutants. So the individual actions we make in our daily lives, when they accumulate together as all the stormwater runs across the land and flows together into the wash and into the common water course, the Santa Cruz River, all the pollutants from the community can accumulate and be a more dangerous
It really
concern.
Hurt the land and therefore then hurt us and the critters, and it becomes a very vicious cycle, I would assume.
Right. So it's not just about people, but about the wildlife that depend on those waterways. So we're trying to share a message about protecting our desert washes and desert rivers. I have some fun facts I could share with you.
I love it. We love fun facts on Mrs. Green's World. So what are some of the fun facts?
I wanted to share how important these desert waterways are. So this sort of heritage we have with our desert waterways is that over time we've lost the majority of them. We already know how important and rare they are in the desert. But a lot of people may not know that they become increasingly rare. And
like if you see water in Tucson, you get excited. If it's in the wash, you're like, oh my gosh, there's water in the wash. And rivers used to flow there.
We go outside when it rains.
Oh my God, it's raining. Right.
So although only 2% of our land is covered by riparian areas, and that's the habitat, the vegetation that grows along a water corridor, that's the riparian area could be along a wash, because that wash, although it doesn't receive water year-round, receives more water than the rest of the desert.
Right.
So a unique vegetation.
So the riparian zones where you can sometimes see them because there's more trees and there's no water running, but you know somewhere there was water connected.
You can recognize it by a mesquite bosque, a big grove of mesquites, or cottonwood trees if there's even more additional water. And although it only covers 2% of our land, the majority of wildlife depends on these riparian areas for their survival, whether it's just during the breeding part of the year or they use it for water, or even when there's no water in the water course, they may depend on the area to travel, wildlife corridors.
Safely.
Mm-hmm.
Safe travel. So
covered
if it's polluted
travel.
With water that was run off from oil in our cars or even washed our cars with, I'm trying to think of some examples because hopefully I'm not contributing to the water pollutants being Mrs. Green. But what are some of the things other than, like, people still throw stuff out of their car. I know that. But other than litter, what are some of the other things that can really damage the wildlife if they drink the water at that time or it leaves pollutants behind?
Those were several good examples. Other ones could be we need to pick up after our dogs. That's been a leading cause.
Dog poop. I love that. I love to talk about that. You're right. Okay. Clean
There's
up
certain
after
pathogens
your dog.
That
really?
Don't break down right away. Some can last up to 10 years. And so that's a concern. It could be herbicides. If you apply herbicides or pesticides before a storm, that would run right off. And that would be a waste of your money as well.
So if you have your house treated for pesticides and it rains, which I have a toxin-free eco-friendly pest guy. Because I don't want spiders in my house,
that
I admit it.
That makes a difference.
So that all runs down, and then the poor critters.
Right. It could accumulate to more dangerous levels in our washes for the wildlife.
So in your job, I'm trying to figure out, is your end of it helping to educate people about why we want to keep the pollution free or looking at the riparian zones and seeing what kind of damage there is? Or what do you do every day? I mean, I know there's some other things that we're going to talk about.
Well, the Clean Water Starts With Me outreach that I do is the primary goal is to foster a connection with these desert waterways so that people care in the first place to help do their part to prevent pollution. And because individual actions are the leading concern, we have to reach people individually. It's not the big industries. They're already regulated, and they may make pollutant contributions as well, but they're not actually the leading concern. So we have to reach out to people to do
that. It's really people living in this community. And one of the things that I know about Tucson, even though it's a big city, If there's a wildlife sighting, everybody gets excited. They love to see a deer or a javelina, a hawk, an owl. And I always say nobody really wants to kill a bird. But if you really are not paying attention, your behavior could result in really harming the little critters that we love to see around here.
We could all make a difference by treading lightly when we do visit these areas.
What do you mean by that, treading lightly? Explain that to people, like not taking your ATV on areas that aren't approved?
That's a big one that really causes a lot of erosion. It could run over the native frogs that live in these areas or the turtles.
We don't want to hurt frogs or turtles.
Yeah.
We really don't.
A good principle is to always take out what you've carried in.
Right.
Carry out what you've carried in. And you mentioned birds. That's a really interesting segue because birding is actually a really huge economic driver in our region.
Total tourism thing.
And they depend on these waterways, the birds. And that's actually, Tucson Audubon did a study and found that the southeastern Arizona contributes about $3 billion a year toward the economy for just birding alone, people coming here to watch.
From all over the world.
From all over the world. And the birds come from all over as well. That's why we have such a great diversity of birds to
And if watch. We're killing their habitat, because like you think of those cottonwood trees and the mesquites, I mean, there are, that's habitat for lots of animals. We have owls around here. I mean, there are many things that we love to see.
Nice.
So that's a really good part. So do you have any more fun facts? Because I have a lot of questions for you. We can move on to hazardous waste, but is there anything like you to share on that part?
Shoot away with your questions.
Well, it is a segue, a perfect segue, because hazardous waste is just, it just sounds like an awful word. And it is something you think about, like seeing a big red mark on a truck that's carrying hazardous waste. And yet what you know, and I hope you'll share with us, is that in our homes, we have a lot of hazardous waste and may not be aware of it. So can you tell us what is hazardous waste, the most common things in our households, and what we should do about it when we want to get rid of it, like not throw it in our garbage?
Sure. Yeah. A lot of people might dispose of household hazardous waste by dumping it down the sink or in the trash, and those actually have long-term toxic impacts. They might not be aware of what is considered household hazardous waste, though. So I like to explain that it's anything that's corrosive, anything that's ignitable, or that could be reactive. Those are good signs. If they have a caution label on it, that's a good sign that it's likely toxic.
So a lot of paints. I'm trying to think of things we might have. Paints, and if you're varnishing, or lighter fluid.
And latex paint you could probably just let dry out and dispose of in the trash. But you could also take it to the household hazardous waste sites, and they have a great drop and swap program. And you can get discounted paint. But fluorescent lights, oil...
Lights, compact fluorescent light bulbs. There's a way to get rid of those properly, right?
If you change your own motor oil, antifreeze, leftover herbicides, those are the kind of things that come from our households.
And, you know, there are things that I don't do anymore. I mean, we used to, like, there are a lot of people that spray their lawns with weed killer and stuff like that. Those are not so good.
Those are not safe.
Not so good. Yeah, and just pull the weeds.
Yes.
So hazardous waste and how to get rid of them.
So the proper way to dispose of it is to find a household hazardous waste site. You could Google it online. Tucson has at least 8 different sites that are open during the week. And the really awesome thing is not only are you preventing toxins from going into our environment, but they actually recycle 98% of what is handed in to them.
What do they do with it? I mean, I knew about the hazardous waste programs, and like the first Saturdays of each month, people start lining up. It's volunteers. I mean, there is always a successful Saturday for that. But what do they do? Do you have any idea what do they do with the recycled things?
They have specialists who know exactly what they can mix and what they can't. They rely on volunteers, but they're pretty busy. They have 34,000 households a year in Tucson that participate, so that's a really great start.
That's a great number.
And over 600 tons a year as well is collected there. It's a lot of toxic waste that's diverted.
And then recycle it. We're going to have to ask our friend BJ from Tucson Clean and Beautiful or somebody in that program, what do they do with it to recycle it? I love that idea. I had no idea. I know for the e-waste that they have great partnerships take electronic
e-waste
waste. But, you know, and the other thing is if you have children or grandchildren, having these things around the house is really dangerous.
I mean, and that as well as storage. Some people might store it exposed outdoors where the rain could run off.
Right, or store it in your garage where it gets to be 180 degrees and it could blow up.
If it's old or hot. Right.
Right, right. So just be careful and really be aware of your house as a possible toxic offender.
And there is one other aspect. Some of the stormwater inspectors have actually witnessed people dumping leftover fluids down storm drains. And I wanted to mention that because not only do we already know that flushing it down the toilet or your sink is not actually the safe way to go, but the misconception there is that storm drains lead to the wastewater treatment plant for treatment.
Not in our city, right?
Exactly.
Not in our county.
In our county, it runs straight from a storm drain out to the wash. So we're responsible for anything that stormwater picks up along the way, whether it's dumped down a storm drain, or if it's running across our yards and picking up extra pesticides, or if it's running across the street and picking up leaky vehicle oil.
So people might change their oil and think they're doing the right thing and taking it to a storm, to a drain, and dumping it because they're not putting it down their own drain. So they really could have a good intention and not really know where it's going. I'd like to assume that about people.
Sure. We just have to get the word out about the proper way to dispose of it.
And then when you talk about, I love the clean water starts with me tagline, because what that translates to me as a taxpayer, because of the other people we've had on the show that point out, it really hurts the stormwater drains themselves that we as taxpayers help rebuild. So there's another part of me in it. If you're putting hazardous things down, it can cause corrosion and all kinds of things to happen. So there's a real circle there that makes it an economic decision as well as an environmental one. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Totally.
And part of our conveyance system are the washes in our community, and it certainly would be a lot harder to try to clean up a bunch of waste spilled there than to dispose of it properly in the first place.
What about things like, I know this isn't a hazardous waste, but what about things like cooking oils and fats and things like that that you cook with? Is there a safer way? And if it's not within your realm, it's okay to, I don't want to put you on the spot.
It's not in the stormwater realm, but it...
But don't go drop it down the drain.
That also doesn't go down the drain.
Right,
just like how it can clog up your kitchen sink, it can clog up the sewer, or it could clog up a storm drain. So we do want to be careful about cooking oils.
And then we're all really sorry. And I don't want to even talk about the people that still drive through the washes when there's warnings all over the place. Do not enter this wash when it's raining. And then we have to send the helicopters to rescue them. Okay, let's talk about adopting a wash.
That is another fun way to help do your part to keep our washes clean. Very direct way to help. So Tucson Clean and Beautiful runs a really great program for Adopt a Wash, and they also have Adopt a Streets, which relates as well because our streets also convey our stormwater. As we know, you were just saying motorists have to deal with driving through or trying to avoid driving through stormwater. So if you help Adopt a Wash, you can earn a sign, and you can put up your business as having adopted a wash or a street. And
or a neighborhood could do it, or a group of friends could do it.
Group.
I mean, a community could do it. And the thing is keeping it up. I keep thinking about my Rotary Club. There are Rotary Clubs that have adopted washes.
That would be fun.
It would really be fun. And we have a good hands-on kind of Rotary Club. And doesn't Tucson Clean and Beautiful then help with setting it up and the day that it starts and help if there's
they
big
really
couches?
Help you
they
coordinate
really help.
It. And they've been running it since 1984, so quite a while. And they gave me some numbers. They said that each year, 170 tons is collected by their volunteers.
That's a lot.
Of trash.
That's a big number. And you know what I think is awesome? I just have acknowledgments on the air. You know, Pima Association of Governments is a sponsor of the show. And I always like to point out what good partners you are, not just in the public-private arena, but with partnerships like Tucson Clean and Beautiful, because you could be talking all about PAG and you're giving them a really appreciated shout-out. I'm sure BJ and Joan and all those people over there are appreciative, because it does help with your job.
They do a lot of on-the-ground work. We have a campaign that teaches people the value of doing good work, but we like to partner with these organizations who actually are on the ground.
Hands-on,
mm-hmm.
looking at the washes. And you know what? You can tell when someone has adopted a street in Tucson. I'm sorry to say, there's really a difference between how many plastic bags are on it as opposed to maybe the street next to it that hasn't been adopted by anyone.
It's really great, the ownership that it creates. If you adopt a wash, you really get to know it. You care about it more. It could be your neighborhood wash that you're really getting to know and understand. And then once it's clean, you'll notice less people littering it because they're not just following the last person who
It's true.
Trashed.
Like, oh, it doesn't matter. This looks awful anyway. It looks clean, so I'm not going to litter.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another great program, Adopt a Wash, and people can always, I would say, if you're driving and listening to the show, contact Gina and Mrs. Green's World, and we'll connect you with Tucson Clean and Beautiful, or be in touch with you, and you'll hook them up. Okay, let's talk about your newest project. The big, big one that I wish this was a video so that people could see why I'm excited. The Clean Water Starts With Me Watershed Pocket Guide. It's really fun, and I can't fake enthusiasm. I'm really excited that you do. So talk about what this is and the labor of love, or maybe not love all the time, that it's been the project in the making.
Taken quite a while, but it was worth it because we got a lot of great input on creating this guide, which is part map and part poster to teach people about how they can clean, keep stormwater clean. And then the map teaches people how to get to know their watershed. Where are the great water destinations in the desert where you can see waterfalls and springs or great trails along washes? And then it also teaches it orients you to understanding the desert and the importance of water in the desert. It gives the story of heritage. So, for example, we have the longest continual agrarian society in, I believe it's within North America, right here. And that just shows that water has been necessary and a part of that picture. Rivers used to flow more often, and we really have to do our part to bring that health back to the watershed. And then it shows some pictures so that you can get familiar with what are the desert plants that grow along waterways, like the cottonwood tree. It gives some terminology so you can understand an ephemeral waterway, which is the seasonal waterway. Some of our rivers don't flow year-round, but
right,
they flow
right. Like
for
in Sabino Canyon.
Half a year.
I mean, sometimes if we have a really good monsoon, it'll flow, and if we have really good snow, it'll flow. It's great to go to Sabino Canyon.
Yeah.
And when the washes run, I always wish I had a canoe.
Yeah, it's fun to watch them flow.
So what was your role in putting this together, and who did you work with? It's another great partnership. There were a lot of really good partners.
We do our outreach for all the local jurisdictions. So I got input from stormwater managers across the region, City of Tucson, Marana, Sarita, all of them, the county,
right.
South Tucson. Then in addition to that, I consulted biologists for their input. I got great text from them, such as wind.
So this was your baby.
Yes.
A lot of it. I mean, you should be really proud of what the baby looks like.
It took a great team and a lot of time to put together. A great graphic designer, a map maker.
Who are you hoping, like I can think of lots of places that this should be and lots of people that would love to see it. What's your plan for distribution? Because it's really, you know, like the first thing I think of is, you know, that $3 billion that tourists spend?
Right.
They would come to Tucson and like to see this because it's pretty. I have to say that. It's pretty. It's eye-catching. It's informative. So who are you hoping that this gets in the hands of to help educate and ignite the passion for change?
We've already had some teachers interested because of the poster
schools.
Side.
Yep.
It's great for children. They really listen to the message. They want to help. I picture outdoor enthusiasts wanting to hike to these destinations. The birders, maybe at Tucson Audubon.
And like the Nature Conservancy and the Chamber of Commerce, all of the chambers
For getting
that get
to
visitors,
know the area.
Visitors Bureau.
And it's currently already available, this pocket size format, so they can carry it around with you as you visit your destinations. It's available in libraries already, and we'll hand it out at outreach events as well. But you can also visit it online at our website, pagstorm.com. It's pagstorm.com. So you can view it and see a version on your computer as well.
So how did you decide what was going to go in it and what wasn't, since it was your baby? That's a big job, kiddo, and it's a lot of geographic area. How did you, was that a team, or did you sit there with all of this mountains of information and say, this goes in and this doesn't?
We wanted to depict our watershed. So the boundaries were fairly easy to choose. It's between our mountain ranges, the Catalinas to the north, the Tucson Mountains, the Rincons, the Santa Ritas. So that's our watershed. And I wanted to show the direction of flow. So you're looking from a bird's eye view and you see the water that would flow essentially from where you're flying above the watershed as it flows northeast. So that's a really good place to start to understand the direction water flows in the environment. And then we chose several sites, lots of different input, that are the best demonstration sites. So there's rainwater harvesting sites on there so that people can understand what that looks like. Several leaders suggested some of those areas you can go to.
And so is Brad Lancaster's house on there?
It actually is. He volunteered.
I mean, he's kind of like the father of watershed, rainwater harvesting in Tucson. He's internationally sought after. I had him on my show about 5 years ago, and it's time to have him back. So his house is, and it's really quite the house.
We included his whole neighborhood because he lives at the intersection of two green streets, which have water harvesting along the whole street to grow trees and shade the pedestrians and utilize that stormwater, put it to good use, which heals the watershed to slow the flow by capturing the rainwater off the street. And it really brings back a lot of these services that riparian areas used to be able to provide. Trees naturally shade. And we love shade in the desert.
Right, and it saves on our utility bills if they're mm-hmm. right.
We're just natural shade hoppers jumping from one shady area to the next.
Right. I get that, you know, fight for the spot in the parking lot. Right. Oh my God, there's a tree. Get under it.
And of course, it cleans the air and it actually cleans the stormwater as well through natural processes in the soil and the vegetation. And so that's what we call a green street, all these rainwater harvesting pockets along the roadway. That benefits the whole neighborhood.
And it hasn't been out that long. When did it? It's not exactly hot off the press, but it's in the past couple of weeks, right?
Yep, just last month. Very excited to start distributing it even more so.
I know, and when I get ideas, I'll give them to you. I know there's only one you, but I was thinking about it. You know who else might like to have it? Is we have such amazing, wonderful bike paths in this city. It'd be a great family activity to have this in your pocket and go visit some of them on the bike paths.
Several of the green streets on there would be great places to ride your bike with your family. They're really low traffic streets. And that's part of the rainwater harvesting. It slows the traffic as well in these cul-de-sacs and things. It's designed to help bikes and pedestrians. And the loop is also on there. So the loop follows the river paths all around the city. And that's another great spot for bikers and walkers.
And it's another great example, like I want to say, of our taxpayers' money being put to good use. The tourists are going to love it. So are the natives. I think it's going to be great. So in our 1.5 minute that we have left, which never ceases to amaze me, do you have any other fun facts or calls to action? Or it's what else do you want to say before we have to say it's over?
I would just say for everyone to remember that clean water really does start with each of us. It's really important for wildlife and people alike. It's a rare and precious resource in the desert. And I like to envision that we can just keep kids splashing in puddles safely and enjoying the rain.
And tell us your Facebook page. You have a fun Facebook page and you get lots of traffic. And let's drive more to it.
You can look it up under the name Clean Water Starts With Me.
And you've got a lot of fun graphics. I mean, you're keeping that page alive. Mrs. Green likes.
Great.
Mrs. Green likes. And then Pima Association of Governments is pag.gov.
That's right. Or you could go directly to our clean water page, pagstorm.com.
And I did to research some of this, so it's great. And Mead, thank you so much for all you're doing for the planet. Thanks, PAG, for being a sponsor. And thank for the Clean Water Starts With Me Watershed Pocket Guide. I'll be giving out lots of them at all the Mrs. Green events coming up.
Thank you so much.
Make it a great green week, everybody. Thanks, Mead.